Myers' first day at practice go yesterday?
Well, you know, we limited, you know, how much he was doing, but he made it through and moving on today. Oh yeah, yeah, moving on today and see how much we can progress by Monday.
Ariel Hagen. By the time someone figured out he could start in the NFL, it started kind of a strong side. Mike, were you surprised as much as anybody that he could get to the quarterback like he did? I mean, is there a secret weapon there that is?
He gives great effort all the time, and that's some of the plays that he made the other day were really great effort plays. You know, it wasn't quite the same. Some of them were a scramble type situation, and he's just playing as hard as he possibly can, and the quarterback hangs on to the ball, and Mario found the football. So I think this defense is really a perfect fit for Mario, because it's a downhill, hit him in the face, physical style of defense. He was always a very good special teams player, because that's the type of game that he played. And I know he played in some 4-3 defenses really before last year. And so this was kind of, a perfect fit for him in terms of being able to find a role in a 3-4.
He was a mutt. For the 4-3, probably a Mike.
Yeah. I mean, there was some Sam there and some Mike in his background. But I just think that being on the line of scrimmage and hitting the tight end, or being the Mike linebacker and doing what we asked the Mike linebacker to do in our scheme, really fit him to a T.
Why do you think it took him? Was his size, maybe they had a tough time figuring out where to put him? It was 6 years before.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think some different players respond differently. Sometimes there's a perfect fit in terms of the system and the scheme with the player. Other times, it may not be. And I'm just very happy that we have him here. And he continues to make plays for us.
Did you remember coaching against him, seeing him on tape?
Yeah, he didn't. Like I said, he hadn't been a full-time defensive player much. And I was familiar with the name, certainly from playing against him a little bit, never enough to really have a great feel for him.
Since it is San Diego week, is there anything that you learned from the Sean Phillips scenario last year that changed your style or regrets?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not proud of that we got into that little conversation before the game. I don't want to do that. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him as a player, for them as an organization, and, certainly something that we could do without, and we don't need those kind of hassles. So I don't think there'll be any pregame fireworks this year.
Has it made you conscious of avoiding similar situations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not looking to get into any of those kind of things anytime. I don't think it's good for me or anybody in our organization. So,
Josh, with the Sean Phillips thing or Todd Haley or all the different controversial stuff, is every now and then do you have to check yourself and remember, hey, you're the head coach? Like, human nature takes over every now and then you have to stop and say, wait a second, I'm the head coach of an NFL team. Do you find yourself either catching yourself or in retrospect saying, oh, I wish I would have handled that a little differently?
There's some situations certainly that you can you can control, but when you have nothing to do with it, I mean, it's kind of a bystander. Hopefully that's always the case. And I know that this is an emotional game. Sometimes things happen that, I think that happens with players, coaches. You know, it's an emotional time. The season's very emotional, and you don't ever want to do anything to disrespect somebody else or bring negative attention to your organization. And hopefully that's the way that we'll all represent Pat.
Teams that have beaten the Chargers this year, beating them on special teams. You see that? They shored that up. You got a guy who can rush the punter.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I think they've given up some plays there, but I think the teams that have beaten them have generally played three good phases against San Diego, and all of them have been close. I know that. They're not. There's nobody running away with any games against this team. And, you know, people have had found some opportunities there in the kicking game and try to take advantage of some things there. And but that's, you know, it's a long season and, you know, there's a bye week and, you know, you have time to address different things. And I think we, you know, we address some things on our team and try to fix some of those things. And, you know, I'm sure San Diego did some of those things on every phase of their team. So we're going to try to do what we feel is in the best interest of trying to win the game, whether that be return, rush, you know, in terms of covering kicks, same thing. You know, they hurt us significantly last year in the kicking game in our first game with Sproles, and we had a couple plays against them too. So the special teams have factored into our games with them, played a big role, and I'm sure it will be no different this week.
What's there, are there any concerns about Prater? I know he didn't hit his own touchbacks, especially at home last week. Is he okay?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they we had two touchbacks and three tackles inside the 20. So in some cases, it's probably worked out better for us. You know, as long as we have a team that's going to cover fast and be aggressive and disciplined, you know, Matt usually gives us an opportunity to get down there and cover the thing at the 20 or potentially inside the 20. And many cases, that's just as good. You know, so I think, you know, as the weather gets cold, you can't anticipate that many touchbacks anyway, because it's hard to kick them like that. But, you know, I think Matt's doing a fine job.
Looking at Brandon Lloyd, it's very unusual to have somebody this late in his career have a 1,000-yard season. Not many people have done it. He keeps saying it's strictly an opportunity. I mean, you've watched his career. Do you think it's as simple as that?
I think Brandon's always had great ability. I know that I had an opportunity to be at his workout when he was coming out at Illinois, and is very impressive then. Always has been a great athlete, great hands, great leaping ability, the traits that you look for from an explosive type of receiver. I can't comment on the things that he's gone through in his past in terms of being on other teams, in terms of why it didn't work one place or another. I just think that his skill set is a good fit for what we're trying to do with him, and I think that you know, he's kind of embraced that role. And and again, to his credit, he endured last season, which wasn't an easy season for him to go through, sitting and playing on the scout team a lot, not really getting a lot of opportunities to help us in the game. And he stuck with that, and really, you know, I think he showed a lot to his teammates and our coaching staff by doing that. And now I think he's reaping the benefit.
You said you saw his workout. Is he any different now? I mean, obviously,
as a player, as an athlete, or as a player, or what do you? I don't think so. I mean, like I said, I liked him. We liked him when he came out. He had a lot of he had the traits he has now. He's explosive. He, you know, whatever, 41-inch vertical jump, great hands, very smooth route runner, smart kid, you know, very likable, great personality. You know, that was him then, and I think that's what we have now. And we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to you know, see him have the season that he's having right now.
Do you think teams sometimes, though, when a player doesn't develop immediately, they seem to kind of put him on the back burner and say, you know, the next big thing is here, so he kind of gets pushed to the back? I mean,
I think each situation is different. I really do. Depends what you're looking for, what your expectations are. Depends what the player's performance is during whatever time period that may be that you're evaluating them. But I don't think two situations are really the same in that regard. go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just curious, injuries aside, no excuse for losses, injuries, we've heard that a million times. But how close, aside from Elvis, is the team right now to where you wanted the team to be to start the season?
we don't really put a prediction on the team before the season starts in terms of, well, at this stage of the season, we're really hoping to be, you know, this many wins and this many losses. We try to put together the best team we can and go out there and compete and play each game to win. And, you know, the record kind of speaks for itself. I don't think anybody's really thrilled with where we're at in that regard. But I think the attitude is that we have an opportunity to play our best football coming up. And I think the other day was a good start for our team in that regard. And, you know, if we can continue to move in a positive direction that way and make improvements in the areas that have kind of hindered us throughout the first part of the year, then really what matters is if we're where we want to be towards the end of the year. And I think that goal is still out there. It's still attainable for us. And I'm really happy with the focus that our team has in terms of trying to keep things in perspective. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forward, and we know that there's an awful lot of opportunity out there in front of us.
Looking backward a couple days, I'm just curious. If I know that you're up big and they're in the 2 minute, but do you have any concerns about the number of snaps your defense is on the field in the second half? What task is it?
It's kind of a pick your poison. We've had to do it the other way most of the year, where we've been out there for 70 snaps, 67 snaps a game, and they're running the ball 37 or 40 times on us. And we haven't had that many opportunities to put ourselves in position where it became a one-dimensional passing game. And I know whenever that happens, there's always, you know, multiple schools of thought. Play zone, let them throw the ball, complete passes, take the clock up, you know, and not get it on one or two plays. Sometimes you choose to blitz, you know, so that you don't have to cover as many things, although you know they could make something happen and create a big play in that situation too. So I think we are fortunate to put them in that position. I think there's certainly plays we could execute better so that they're not throwing the ball for whatever they threw it for in the second half, 370 yards or whatever. But I think anytime you get a lead like that and it becomes a passing game, I think the same thing happened. I saw a little bit of the Sunday night game too. I mean, whatever, Pittsburgh has 120 yards passing, then all of a sudden end up with 370, you know, like that, because it became that kind of a game. So, you know, if we can put ourselves in that position again, I'm sure we wouldn't mind it. We'll try to play a little bit better pass defense as we go. But, you know, we'll trade the score for some of that stuff.